Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight.
We're going to try to figure out, no one can hear me. My wife couldn't hear me. Someone else said they couldn't hear me. So we're trying to figure out what's going on. It says I've called into a live show. So somehow I disconnected with the server or whatever, but thank you for tuning into the conversation. I hope you feel a part of it. And if you haven't heard, in Pennsylvania, they have passed a law where authorities can get into your car and, you know, and break windows and stuff to protect you and save your pets. I know as of late in my state, in Indiana, they just can't do that. You know, like pets aren't a priority. So basically what I was under the understanding is, like if you had a, but I think it's also for like the ASPCA or like if there's like pet authorities or pet people that can do that kind of thing, then they can break into your car. Like if they're like a dog pound type thing, like a dog catcher, you know, they have the legal right to break your windows and all that stuff. So we'll have to wait and see. But that's kind of, hopefully you can hear me now. Reconnected. I'm going through, they've had some issues, but this is what gets me. This is how bad this world is. This is how crazy this world is. So as we're talking about this, Michelle Obama has beaten out Hillary Clinton for the most admired woman. I mean, really, how low has the bar sunk? How bad has this? Michelle Obama was somebody who was like, well, I should get paid as the first lady. I should have a salary. I need to have 75 servants and people pay. Have we stooped that low that she's the most? I couldn't believe when I heard that for 17 years, Hillary Clinton was the most admired woman. Are you kidding me? There's not like a scientist that has made major breakthroughs. That's a woman. The most admired woman for the last 17 years. Deleted emails and had stuff on a private server. Are you freaking kidding me? That 2000 Leagues Under the Sea book, that was written because that's how far the bar was. Now it's like, oh my God. But don't worry. I mean, this is how bad this. I mean, when you have a place like New York that has a toy gun exchange where they'll buy back your toy guns because they're dangerous, are you kidding me? Not only do they not want you to have an air rifle, Red Ryder air rifle, they don't want you to have a toy gun. I don't get it. But then you have countries that where British Prime Minister Theresa May said pedophiles should be allowed to adopt children too. The world we live in, folks. That's this America we live in. But remember, just remember this. If Trump won the presidency as a Democrat, you would all be supporting the Second Amendment, the border wall, and everything he did just because he was a Democrat. That's the world we live in. That is the world we live in, folks. You know, these kids, you know, that's the world we live in. Crazy. I can't. Michelle Obama, the most admired person. That's because we got brainwashed kids. That's because we got brainwashed kids in this world. That, you know, because in 2013, every Senate Democrat voted to support $46 billion for border security. What changed? Trump. Trump is what changed. I love Trump because you go back as long as he's been interviewed, his view hasn't changed. What he's saying hasn't changed. What he's doing and why he's doing it hasn't changed. It's someone that's coming in and trying to break up the mafia, and the mafia doesn't want to have any part of it. They're like, nah, sorry, buddy, but the mafia, but no mafia. We don't want you, you know. They don't want him to do that. Like when you're in school and you found a way to cheat or get away with something and someone finds out and tries to turn you in and you try to shut them up. It's the world we live in. This is our country. We're Americans. We should support our president and be very, very happy that we have this man in the White House that is doing such a good job for our country. When Trump does something great, praise the man. When he does something wrong, don't. They've had tons of wildfires. And Trump has supposedly passed legislation that is going to speed up the ability to lumber tons of acres and clear tons of debris so that we can have less forest fires. I don't necessarily agree with cutting down tons of acres of trees. You know? Because a lot of the trees that we have in this country, in this world, are now from, like, farms. Like, if you were to get most guitars made of mahogany, it's not old wood mahogany. It's not old. It's mahogany that's grown, mass-produced really fast. You know? I don't want forest fires, but I don't want to cut down thousands of acres of trees either. It's just one of those things we think about, and then we have to look into. As many of you know, a lot of people these days take their senior year and they say, I'm leaving because I'm going to the NFL. They're not leaving on a jet plane. They're wanting to go to the NFL when they leave their senior season. Well, Old Dominion University quarterback Blake LaRussa has found his calling, and it's not the NFL. He's leaving his senior season to go to seminary school. That's awesome that, you know, somebody finds a calling, that we have to have people that support their beliefs and want to do something other than football, that they have a gift in God. You know, there's this, you know, when you have all these people that are like, well, that nativity scene offends me. Now, I could see if you said, well, that nativity scene offends me because that's a horrible depiction of Jesus, or the figurines are bad, something like that. Oh, you support nativity scenes. But it's just, you know, whoever did it. Yeah, I get that. But if you're just offended because, you know, it's like, how does a nativity scene force you to be a Christian or believe in God? How does a cross force you to believe in Jesus? It doesn't. Now, if you want to learn about God, I'll be more than happy to share it with you. My wife will be having to share with you. We'll talk with you. But at, let me see here. I see a Star of David. I'm not offended. I'm like, what? I'm usually asking questions. Like, what does that mean? What's it about? I'm not like, oh, you're pushing your belief on me. I want more Star of David. I want more Judaism stuff out there. You know. I want to like put Hanukkah stuff all around, like separation of, well, no, actually it does. Yeah. Well, cause they would actually have, cause the law says separation of church and state, not the separation of synagogue and state. You know, there's places that have like the Church of Satan have tried to put stuff up and people are offended. I'm like, I don't believe in the Church of Satan, but hey, they have a legal right to have that there. If there's a symbol that atheists use, well, you can put up a symbol for atheism, whatever. Well, atheists don't believe in anything, so that would not really work on that case. But hey, you know, that's the world we live in, folks. That's this world that we come to, you know, where people are offended by, I'm offended by the fact that I'm just offended because I'm offended, you know. No. Yeah, you're offended because you watch it. See, the problem is there's this show on, what is it, on Lifetime or whatever, where this guy is dating this girl that, like, at night dresses up in diapers and stuff and has a crib.
Oh, I can't. I'm not going to watch it. It's a new thing coming in.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
See, there are people that are like that in real life. They just don't wear the diaper. They're just out in the world.
I'm offended by that. What can they do? Will they stop showing it? No.
I mean, I don't know whether to laugh at it or be like, oh, Lord.
Huh. I'm more like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, like, what the heck? But it's nice to see somebody that's actually saying, hey, look what I've done, but I'm going to do something else with my life. I'm going to go to seminary school. That's pretty cool. You know, this is, as many of you know that's ever driven in Chicago, as we move on, folks, have ridden on the Dan Ryan. Oh, Lord. Okay, there's a 45-minute delay. If you're moving, you're fine. On the Dan Ryan, if you're moving and you're not stopped, then you're fine. But a move to rename the highway for Obama angers family of famed Chicago politician. Family of former Cook County president and board member Dan Ryan, who is really close to Chicago's Democratic Party boss, Richard J. Daley, they're up in arms because Daley's son Bill suggested changing the highway's name that's been bearing Ryan's name for 56 years to honor President Barack Obama. And they're like, kind of like, what has he done? He's not a Chicago native. He was, well, they don't say, I mean, he was born in Kenya, but they claim he was born in Hawaii. They say he has no roots to Chicago. He hadn't done anything in Chicago. Well, I haven't bettered Chicago. He was just there as a politician. He has no ties to Chicago besides that. And they're like, what the hell? Why? And I support the Ryan family, even though they're Democrats. Well, it'd be like having your dad do something great and they name a road after him, and then because somebody who has no ties to the city who becomes president wants to, you know, they're just offended. But that's this Obama world we live in. Well, Obama was the greatest ever. See, the problem we have in this world is that Ocasio Cortez could come out and say that she's going to tax the air you breathe, and there'd be people that'd be cheering her on, and they wouldn't realize that they're going to be taxing the air you breathe, and the media would find some way to make it. They would praise her for it. though that was all made up. But she's someone that could say that, and they'd be like, "Then that's great. They'd cheer her on." Okay, you realize that if you breathe, she's gonna attack you. She's gonna try to get your money. See, we had what's called the Tea Party, where we threw British tea over into the ocean to protest British taxes. Isn't it funny how now people are like, "Oh, I'll accept 20% tax. Taxes are great." Not I said the fly. Not me said the bee. That's the problem we live in this world, because we live in a world where people are accepting of all this stuff that are, you know, isn't it funny how all these migrants are trying to run away from the very country that these liberals want to shove down our throat? Think about that one. Think about that one. They want to shove the very country down our throat that they're running away from. I honestly think what it is their country ran out of money, so now they want to come here and try to get stuff from us while they'll give it to them. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But you know, these countries that these refugees are running away from are the very countries that they're trying to turn our country into. Oh, but there's a difference between democratic socialism and regular socialism. Well, look at England. Rents are skyrocketing. Debts are piling up. You used to not want to have, you used to be like, "Oh no, we got the high courts. They're serving the writ." Now it's like, no one cares. No, they were talking about on the news the other day that Trump never visits the troops. The only president hasn't done it, and he was on a secret trip to visit the troops. It's funny. They can't say, "Hey, this is good." I could respect the media if they said, "Hey, I don't like this about Trump, but hey, this is what he's doing great." And there's, you know, it's, let me see how it can bash the president. You know, I mean, it was not politically correct to bash Obama, but oh, Trump, oh, what's the game on? Game on, folks. We need to get a little thing called let me see here. Oh yeah, stock market. Wow, 1,000-point gain. At least the Dow does. Oh, but it's bad. It's dangerous. You know, it's sad that they sit there and they bash Trump for everything. They can't say he's doing anything good. You know, $46 billion in 2013, Democrats voted for border security. What changed? Changed. You know, Trump's doing his best. I mean, I'm one of those people, like I was talking about before, that on one of my programs a couple weeks ago, all these agencies that the government has that have borrowed money, I don't understand, so should be paying it back. I mean, I'm still looking into, because they're looking at, hey, if you had a, what do you call, if you had a, oh, what's that? If you paid penalties to Obamacare, since it's now been deemed unconstitutional, they're looking at giving your money back. I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program that you're a part of, and I want you to keep Officer John William Mullich's family in your prayers, as he was a Lafayette Local Police Department officer who passed away recently. He died actually on Christmas Day after a long battle with cancer, and he started out as a volunteer and worked his way up, and he was just a great guy. So, you know, just keep his family and them in your prayers, because they really need it this time of year. You know, he was a good guy. He was a cool dude. I met him 3 times, and the 3 times I met him, just an amazing man, just a great funny guy. Got about 31 minutes left in the program, folks, and you know, you don't realize how short life is. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I used to all the time say stuff like, oh, when this and that and this and that. Next thing I know, it's like, wait a minute here. Yeah, I'm 43. That's what I tell people. You know, if you're 20, you're going to be 21 or whatever, 22, you're a youngster. Do what you can now, and because if you say, oh, no, I'll wait. Then by the time you get to be my age, it gets tough to do stuff. Well, at least for me, because I have a muscle issue, so I'm fatigued all the time. So, as many of the long-time listeners of the conversation know, I deal with it. And just stinks. And I'm in a support group and everything, and I just do what I can, and I don't know how much longer I can do what I can, because I don't know. I mean, it's like, I feel like, here's my medication. What can I get to keep me going? Not, you know, it's like, because it's like, I don't really want to, I want to do something, but it's like, sitting on my butt is not what I want to do. And it's just one of those things that, you know, someone like with me and my issues, when you get up and it's like, okay, your body says, nope. Your mind says, look, your mind says, I want to do all this and this and this and this. And your body's like, I just want to sleep. I don't want to do anything. So, if you got good health, thank it. Thank it. You know, you never know how long you have. I mean, there's no guarantee of tomorrow, so enjoy today. Every day is a gift you've been given. Make the most of it, the time, every minute you're in it. And I try to do that as much as my body allows. And it's just crazy, because I have family and stuff that don't get it. Like, they don't see anything. So what do you mean? They just think, and I always joke in a serious way. Like, well, I come from your genes, so you know, you're not lazy. I'm what's up, you know? And always ask, what's wrong? What's wrong? It's like, well, okay. Lift weights and take a sleeping. Lift weights, and the next day when you're sore as hell, take a sleeping pill and then try to function. That's what I deal with. And I always spread awareness on the show about myopathies, because I run a, you know, because there's a high-ranking House Democrat, Representative Jeffries, who's calling on Congress to decriminalize marijuana or cannabis as the next step. And I'm a huge medical cannabis supporter, and I'm looking at going to the Cannabis Training University. And I might be doing training in Grand Rapids, depending on the weather, if the weather's good or not. I don't know if I want to, you know. And so that when, because that's where I want to be able to help people with that and do stuff with that. And the questions I'm looking into with this farm bill is, will we be able to grow, like, Charlotte's Web, a very high CBD hemp strain that we can use, you know, and extract and make edibles and stuff and tenures and stuff like that. You know, like with this farm bill, we'll be able to grow, your own. We'll be able to grow like 5 or 6 plants or whatever. Just, I mean, a small crop for you, so you can extract it and use it for CBD. And then just take some of the plant and clone it and go from there. I mean, The big issue is there needs to be some major regulation going on with cannabis in terms of there's been recently a huge tonnage of cannabis that they faked testing because it was loaded because they didn't, whoever did made it didn't flush out the plants at the end of the cycle. And it was loaded with pesticides and chemicals because they didn't flush out the plants. Usually you stop fertilizing and you stop feeding it the last 2 weeks and you just feed it water to flush all that stuff out, and they're not doing it. And it's something that has to be, there needs to be some regulation to ensure that that doesn't happen so that they don't, because there's a lot of cannabis. And you wonder how much you, if you've ever smoked outside of legal cannabis, how much that's ever happened or how much you've ever, you know, if it's happening on the commercial market, hey, could have happened in the, you know, hey, we, it was either harvest it now or don't have anything. So they just, you know, they probably didn't have a choice. And who knows? But this is legal. This is stuff that's going to the market for legitimate use in state dispensaries where it's legal. But I think we're one step away, honestly, from decriminalization and actually getting some sensible laws in place. And I do mean sensible laws, not government regulation where they own the crap, where they, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, whatever the case may be. But anyways, you sit there and it's crazy, this world we've grown up in. Because there's actually now, there's a movement to like, why calling different marijuana type strains is technically wrong. Since it's an incredibly complex plant with hundreds of compounds that are involved in essentially over the thousands of years the plant has evolved, it's just crazy that, you know, it's a misnomer that adequatists in marijuana market call them different strains. I mean, because I've always called them different strains. They're saying that they should be called like chemivores or different types of chemical varieties. So, like, this is a different type of chemical variety in cannabis, not a strain. So, if you're talking like Michoacan, Acapulco Gold, Thai Stick, or, you know, like Purple Haze, or Girl Scout Cookies, or Deadhead, whatever, they should be called chemical varieties because the chemical makeup in them is different. Where different strains are referred to like different types in general, like a bacteria or a virus, not necessarily plants. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, you don't know your stuff because actually it's not really called. Yeah, so if I go, when I go to the train, I'll say, actually it's not a strain. To be technically correct, it's a chemical variety or a chemivore. Yeah, know your true, you know, the strain is technically wrong. So yeah, I'm being taught by someone that doesn't really know. Yeah, I want my money back, because if he doesn't know that they're technically not strains, then, because it's all marijuana, there's just different chemical variances in the CBD, the THC, the CBN, CBA. So. But it's one of those things that, you know, but then I think if they decriminalize it, then you're going to have a whole host of other things, like, well, if it becomes decriminalized, does that mean you can own a gun and have cannabis or no? You know, are they gonna, if it becomes a Schedule One, are companies gonna, are you gonna be able to use it at work? Are you gonna function with it? You know, there's gonna be a whole list of things that you're gonna have to think about, because right now a lot of people, hey, I use it for medical purposes, and some companies, since it's illegal federally, we're not even gonna touch it. You can't be if it at work and all this. So it's gonna be interesting to see what happens as this legalization train moves forward. Because, I mean, the problem we're also having is there, just like with tobacco, when they tried to, when all the studies showed how dangerous and deadly it was, even going back to the 50s, they knew it was dangerous. There's even evidence going back to the late 60s, early 70s, that they knew that the dangers, the potential dangers of secondhand smoke. And they said, that's going to really kill us, because we can always get people to smoke. We can always, that's not a problem. But how do we get people to smoke? Well, advertising. We can always glamorize smoking. But if people who don't smoke can be damaged by a smoker, then that's going to be the Achilles heel, because though I can convince you to smoke, if you're affecting this person, that's going to be the end of it. Because how can we, well, you know, you're damaging me even though I'm not smoking. So it's going to be interesting to see moving forward. You know, because all this stuff going back to the 50s about how deadly it was, and they covered it up, and now there's all this evidence. That there's, well, if you smoke a whole bunch of it, it stops brain development and all this stuff, and all these, and when you look at who's funding this research, and who's getting, who's, you know, it's anti-drug companies, it's pharmaceutical, but it's the anti-drug movement, it's all these people that don't want it legal to begin with. So it's going to be interesting to see, because it's not like, hey, this is a major cannabis company and we support legalization, and when we did say no, it's all this stuff that's paid for by people that don't want it legal. And they have very good reason why they don't want it legal, because it's going to be tons of money down the drain. It's going to be tons of money down the drain. It's going to be interesting to see as we move forward with this, you know, and all the stuff that happens. And it, to me, being in the cannabis for so long, it just shows the view of the fact that how corrupt this system is. It's a huge corrupt system. It's like Bible never had anybody and you have it in this system where all this good stuff about it, they don't want it, just like diabetes, they don't want to care for it. They want to make millions. They want to have lots and lots of money, and they're not going to get lots of money through cannabis. I think they can make tons of money. But that's just me. I mean, look at how much money cannabis is bringing into Colorado. I do believe that I hope, and I believe this hemp bill will hopefully make the price of the CBD go way down because it can be mass produced. In terms of quality produced, but in a bigger quantity so that it can lower the price. Hopefully. I mean, because when you get little files of CBD and it's like so ridiculously expensive, it's not funny. You know, I'd love to get back on some CBD, but when you're talking about vials of like $60 for Charlotte's Web, that's probably a month. Maybe. It's this world we live in that not many people realize. A suspect in the fatal California cop shooting is in the U.S. illegal, the authorities say. But, you know, that's not an issue. I mean, there's so much crap going on in this world. Excuse me, we can't build a wall. We can't do this. We can't do that. Well, that's, you know, the president doesn't want the government to remain shut down, but he will not sign a proposal that does not prioritize our country's safety and security first. But 5 years ago, that was a priority. See, that's what I tell people. Just listen to all the stuff Donald Trump said throughout the years. If you don't agree with it, hopefully you didn't agree with it. Hopefully you agreed with the fact that you disagree with Donald Trump when he was tired of us spending billions of dollars on countries that hate us. I hope you didn't agree with that back in the day, because he hasn't changed his stance. And if he has, and if you have, why all of a sudden are you wanting to give money to countries that hate us? Because he never wanted to. That's what Trump wanted to do. He's always, you know, why do we care about countries that hate us? Why do we protect countries that don't donate money to us? It's just one of those things that we look at. That, okay, either you've always supported America giving money to countries like Iran who hate us and want us dead, or not. I don't know. Because I've always supported 90% of what he stands for. I've supported about 100% of what he stands for. Just some of the things he's done, and I don't necessarily 100% agree with, but that's President Trump. Got about 13 minutes left in the program, folks. I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program. I hope you feel a part of, folks. And wow, I want to get into this because the big debate now is I want to move into some English football and get into some discussions there, because, you know, the Christmas gift of the best Christmas gift ever was Jesse Mourinho being sacked. And we got Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and will he stay, and will he be the manager, and this and that, and, you know, and, okay, if we're going to go after Pochettino, would you want Pochettino still if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer can beat him? And all these questions that are going around, and in the January transfer window, are we going to sign anyone, and who would we sign, and all this stuff. And I still believe Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is temporary, and they're going to find someone permanent. It better be an attacking style manager. If they're going to go after a Antonio Conte, who's a defensive manager again, we've done that 3 times, and it doesn't. We need an attacking style manager. But I've seen there's been a lot of people that have come into clubs, interim, and they dominate like heck, and they give them the job, and then the next year they don't really do anything. See, I think they're just kind of having fun, because they're just interim, and then when the pressure's on, okay, now you're the actual manager, now you feel like you're obligated. To me, I would just be out there for the fun of them, okay? We're going to go out there. We're going to play an attacking style of football. We're going to have fun with it. Win, lose, or draw. I'm no pressure. We win. If we don't, we don't. That's what we're going to do. I want you to give me 190% everything you got and go from there. So we'll have to wait and see how that turns out going forward. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I hope they're actually trying to find an attacking style manager. I hope they go after Zidane, and if we don't get him, it's Zidane that doesn't want to play or doesn't want to do it. It's not anything we've done. You know, it's not something that we've done. You know, if we go after a LeBlanc or something, you know, I want an attacking style manager. I don't want to have another pragmatic defensive manager that's like, oh, here we go again. We're going to try to grind out results by just hopefully scoring early on so we can then just play defensive and try not to do anything and try not to press and try not to and just pray to God that, hey, that 1-0 will win it. That Jose Mourinho park the bus style of football doesn't work anymore. You can't grind out results. You need to score. You need to get points. You need to have a positive goal differential. Just trying to win 1-0 or 2-0. 1-0 or 2-0 or 2-1 or, you know, you score one and then you play defense, and if they happen to score again, then you got to hurry up and try to score again. Then you have to play, just play defensively, and if you end up scoring off, you know, okay, you know, don't try to score, but, you know, if you end up having to score, then it's okay. That doesn't work anymore. I love the way, because I think all the resource guys just kind of saying, hey, go out there and play the football. You know how to play. Play an attacking style. Have fun. Go for it. Go forward. Show me your best, and I can, from there, okay, this is where you want to be, okay, you know, and go from there. And he's gotten some good results out of it. But I still think they're looking for a permanent manager. I mean, I do think, I mean, there is talk that we're linked to Tony Alderweireld or Kirby Bali in the January transfer window, and we'll have to wait and see if anything happens in this January transfer window. And, you know, there are a lot of players who need to get out. Ashley Young needs to go. And we need to get some of these players that are past their prime. We need to get past some of these players. You know, Juan Mata needs to go. Matic needs to go. I don't want a Simeone or Conte or Allegheny. I want to have an attacking style manager, and we need to start getting some players out. It's, you know, Jose Mourinho was all about the long ball, and it doesn't work. Alex Ferguson was always about, okay, yeah, we got decent players now, but we need to get rid of Jones, and we need to get rid of Rojo, and we need to get rid of Ashley Young. We need to bring in some new blood and some... And now that I think Jose Mourinho is gone, I think players are going to, hey, now I'll consider coming to you. I mean, Fred is finally getting to play. I think they got Fred to say, let's see what happens. Let's see if Jose Mourinho will play this guy. And if he plays him and he does things, okay, maybe we'll cut him some. He wasn't playing Fred. I mean, he didn't care. He was in love with Fellaini, and that's it. That style of football is long gone. I don't want to Conte or Simeone. I want to have an attacking manager. We need to get rid of Ashley Young. We need to get rid of some players. We need to get rid of Mata and Matic. Some of these players got to go. I'm sorry. But they're not. They're way beyond their shirt wearing days at United. They're not the player we used to have. But as we move forward, I think if we get rid of like three or four players, bring in two or three, and do that, I think this club can really start to turn around. And it's exciting for the first time, and I think that's what is going on at this club. For the first time, there's actual excitement that we actually got a style of football that's enjoyable instead of like, okay, there were times when Jesse Mini was there, I'd fall asleep during the game, it'd be so boring. Like, no, we're going to play park the bus. See, what you do is you try to score very quickly and then wait for time to run out. Perfect way to waste 90 minutes. No, I mean, when it's like, wow, I know you can kick the ball from one side of the field to the other, but you need to go down the pitch towards the goal and try to score. It's just one of those things, and you know, I think we might get Tony Alderweireld or Koulibaly to United. I think we'll be looking at better players now that Jose's gone, and they see, hey, this is someone that knows United. This, you know, and I think they've maybe seen the fact that they've tried three managers like that, and it's not working. And let's see, you know, because I don't want to see a Conte or Simeone or one of these pragmatic defensive managers. I don't want to see a Simeone. No. I mean, I'll be like, okay, might as well get Jose back. Why would you get rid of a Jose Mourinho just to bring someone like that back? I mean, because we could easily get Pochettino or Zidane or LeBlanc. You know, LeBlanc turned us down. He didn't want to, you know, or not the other way around. Not like, well, his agent said he never contacted us. I'd rather say, hey, we reached out to Zidane. He wants to take another year off. He doesn't want to coach right now or whatever the case may be. He has no interest in the Premier League or whatever the case may be, then okay. You know, at least they looked into him and they tried to get him and it just wasn't meant to be. Then you can say, hey. But you know, when you look at this club and its history, it's nice to have someone with history back at the club. And that's moving the ball, and it's positive, and it's exciting to watch, not like, oh, okay, I'll wake up when I hear that. I probably won't wake up because I'm pretty sure it's going to be some other team scoring again. I'm sure, you know, it's not like, wow. It's not even the end of the first half, and we got two goals. Sweet. And we're actually going to try to get more than two. It's not like we scored so we can stop trying to get goals. Park the bus. Hey, we scored. We don't have to try anymore. Alex Ferguson was always like, yeah, well, we're up 10-0, but hey, we need to keep trying because they could easily come back. He always tried to score. I mean, I remember in the UEFA Champions League final against Bayern Munich, I'm like, we had no chances. There's no way. How in the about 90 seconds? How are we even gonna? And then like, okay, he's gonna put in Terry Sheringham and he's gonna put in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I'm like, okay, what the heck? And guess who won the game for us? Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Holy cow! And we had like hardly any chances. And for those in the States that are listening, it's kind of like with like 0.8 seconds left and you throw a half-court buzzer beater and you win the game. It's kind of like that, where it was like in stoppage time. It's like, holy cow. It was just like, sir, That's how it was. And it's like, wow. And I'm just like, it took me a second to realize we won the game. But it's just one of those things that it's nice to have someone that understands what we're about, and hopefully we get a decent manager in here that understands that. I really want to pass it off to someone, no matter how good Ole Gunnar Solskjaer does. I mean, because he's just kind of having fun, and I don't want to have him come in next season if they keep him and then he just, like, can't handle it and stuff. So we'll have to wait and see. But remember, folks, with a firm reliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Until next Tuesday, coming up, good night, and God bless all. Goodbye.